Hi, it is to laugh. It's Gersh Kuntzman of the New York Daily News, along with Vince DiMicelli of the Brooklyn Paper, doing what we do every Thursday, Brooklyn Paper Radio Live from downtown Brooklyn, America's downtown.
It's America's downtown.
We have a lot to celebrate today. We're going to be joined by State Senator Dan Squadron. He's going to talk to us about something.
Whoa, Daniel, my state senator.
Talk about something we all love, and that is pools. Let's talk about public pools. I love them. You love them. We all scream for them.
You're a big fan of the public pool.
I always go to
the
public
double
pool.
D was your big pool.
I saved the double D pool. I did. I take credit for that.
That's
me and Marty Markowitz. And we're also going to talk, obviously, about murder at the food
How's
co-op.
How's that Coca-Cola going down?
We're also going to talk about murder at the food co-op, which is my hit show off-Broadway. When I say off-Broadway.
Is it a hit? I read the review. Trey Dooley had a review.
We're going to get Trey Dooley in here to talk about his review.
Maybe we should call him.
And next, we're going to talk about Vince, I always start the show with, like, what the heck is going on with me? I just had a sandwich from United Meat Market in Windsor Terrace. Great place for a sandwich.
Where is the United Meat Market?
It's on Prospect Park West in Windsor Terrace, the WT, I call it.
Yeah.
And the guy left off the roasted peppers. So I was talking to Jimmy. Jimmy's like, oh, well, I don't really like roasted peppers. Yeah, I don't care if you like them or not. It changes the whole dynamic of the sandwich if you expect them and then they're not there.
Yeah, there's a certain sweetness to a pepper, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they think about peppers and they think hot. But a good roasted pepper, it'll add a certain sweetness, maybe an acidity.
And absolutely. That's what that sandwich needed.
And you're missing that, and that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
Now, I don't know if you can hear us crunching away here. We are eating grapes taken from the set of my hit off-Broadway play, Murder at the Food Co-op. Literally, save it, salvaged, if you will. Dumpster diving.
Why are there grapes on the set? What is the grapes part in the play?
Well, if you see the play.
Or the musical.
And I know you're going to come see the play next Wednesday.
I might come Wednesday. If I can, I know a guy, because I might need to change my tickets to Thursday, and then that way I can bring my wife.
Well, there are grapes on the set because Ali and Muffy Goldemeyer Finkelberg have a love story, and there's one point where he feeds her grapes, and she says, oh, my God, what's with these grapes? They taste like they came from a bodega.
Uh-oh.
And that's a clue. Huh. That's a clue to solving the murder of the title.
Interesting.
Very interesting. All right. Anyway, we got to get out.
Where are we going?
What have you been up to?
It's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy.
Why?
I cannot get a moment in edgewise. I'm just so busy. I don't have a second for myself. It's like I came out of meeting after meeting after meeting today, and then I got to do a radio show.
I mean, the public supports you, but I say go home, have a Chardonnay.
Well, here's what I'm doing. I am going to go home and have a Chardonnay.
Okay.
And then tomorrow I'm taking the family, the whole family. That's the wife and the kid. And then the Pettinatos of Michael and Jonathan fame. You familiar with them?
The Pettinatos of the Staten Island Pettinatos?
The Pettinatos of Michael and Jonathan fame.
Yeah.
They're coming with us, and we're hopping in the van. My dad's got one of these big conversion vans.
Wow.
You know, he's had it for years.
Conversion van?
Yeah, since he was a kid.
What's a conversion van?
Well, if that van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Hey-o!
So we're taking the van we're going to Howe Caverns.
Howe Caverns?
Yeah, Howe Caverns in upstate New York. It is the second most visited natural resource or natural park or natural wonder of the world in New York State.
How could they?
What is the first most visited natural wonder of the world in New York State?
Oh, in New York State, probably Niagara Falls.
That is.
Niagara Falls is very popular. And
I think this is not a very close second. It is not a very close second. It is a very far behind second.
You're saying natural, so like the Empire State Building or the
Statue. Well, you know how caverns is?
It's a cavern.
Yeah, like you go, there's like water under there. It's like you scream echo. You got echo, Jimmy?
Echo.
Jimmy, got the echo? Can you turn on an echo? I want to make believe we're in a Howe Caverns.
Echo.
No echo.
No echoes?
Why do we pay him? Next week, let's do the whole show from Howe Caverns. Then we'll have the echo.
That's actually not a bad idea.
All right.
So great, Howe Caverns. But Howe Caverns is near Schenectady.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my entire life up until about 25 minutes ago,
when
I did the research to find out where I was staying, I pronounced it Schenectady.
Schenectady.
Schenectady, N-Y, like New York, not Schenectady, D-Y.
All right.
Like do it yourself. And this is proof positive that you learn something every day, Gersh.
Every day.
And in this case, I learned that for 45 years, I didn't know how to pronounce Schenectady.
Well, the good news is the listeners have learned.
Oh, Schenectady.
The good news is the readers have learned something today, too, and that is we are having a really boring chat. So
what are you talking about?
I got to break it up. I got to bring her in. I'm going to bring her right in. Can I?
You can do whatever you want.
I'm bringing Ruth Brown in.
We're bringing in Brown now?
Yeah,
I thought we're bringing in Gilly.
No. We'll do that for the end of the papers.
Somebody's texting me.
Yeah,
Yes.
Ruth Brown, Gersh Kunstman here of Brooklyn Paper Radio, along with Vince DiMicelli, who is your boss.
He is.
You want to come on in?
Sure.
All right, Ruth Brown. Now, Ruth probably doesn't know why I'm bringing her in.
Yeah, neither do I.
But I'll bring her and I'll tell her all about it.
I hope they have her.
Here she comes. Hey, Ruth. Ruth, come on over here. I got some grapes for you. You want some grapes?
I'd love something.
See, Ruth is from South Africa, where they love grapes. All right.
Are grapes naturally grown in South Africa? Let me ask you a question. Do you think those grapes are a little soft?
They're a little old.
No.
They need to be fresher.
Yeah.
Those grapes started.
I hope you didn't get these from the Park Slope Food Co-op.
Oh, I did not.
Hi-yo.
All right. Listen to me and listen to me good, Ruth. Now, Ruth Brown.
You have headphones?
Ruth, you were good enough to come see and pay for a ticket to see Murder at the Food Co-op. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm a good person.
Well, no, and you supported the show whether you liked it or not. Now, then the next day, you go and publish a review by Thurston Dooley III, Trey Dooley, I've known him for many years.
Yes.
That I think was a little harsh.
I did not have a lot to do with that review. I think that was editor-in-chief Vince DiMicelli and arts editor Bill Roundy.
Oh, okay. Well, Roundy saw the show.
And Dooley.
Well, but Dooley filed the report, and then from what I understand from what Dooley says, it went through an editing process, and it was toughened up. Vince, you have any comments?
I'm trying to deal with a problem here on my with my wife with the
with your wife.
Yeah, with the trip to the trip.
All right, we might not
be going.
Ruth, tell me more. Tell me. So you thought Dooley's review was accurate? I mean, you saw the show.
I saw the show. I actually haven't read the online. I read a very early draft of it, but I haven't read the online version yet, so I couldn't tell you. I liked the show. So.
Oh wait, Ruth Brown, is that a stinging endorsement?
A stinging endorsement?
I don't know what a stinging endorsement
is.
You like the show?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Laugh riot.
Yeah, and then, I laughed.
Now, I think Dooley's problem with the show is he wanted it to be more of an attack on the food co-op and lifestyles in Park Slope in general. And I think, look, it's a, as far as I consider it, it's a gentle satire. What do you think, Ruth?
I don't think it needed to be more of an attack on the co-op. Apart from anything, you'd have to assume that, you know, a large percentage of the audience would be, like, vaguely familiar, but not members, and thus a searing attack would kind of go over their heads and not be exceptionally funny. I mean, I thought it was, though, a good-spirited kind of attack, or, like, spoof of the kind of people who... At least people imagine shop at the co-op.
A gentle satire.
Shop, work, and live that lifestyle.
Well, anyway, and we have a lot of produce on the set, so today is produce eating day because our next show is not till Wednesday, which gives us a full week. We don't want to leave that stuff at the theater. It'll just rot away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, listen, I did work very closely with Dooley on that on that review, and I wanted to know what you didn't like about it.
I just thought it was a little bit, like he took a couple of shots. Although he did ultimately support the role I played, I come on at the end as the man with the dog.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it yet, Gersh.
Break the story right wide open. Anyway, look, I know Thurston Dooley is a professional. If you remember, Vince, I was his first editor here at the Brooklyn Paper. I discovered Dooley in obscurity at the String and Hand Institute of Technology. That's SHIT up there in Massachusetts.
Yes.
He had done so much of his great work there, studying under Mandelbaum. This was all listed on Wikipedia. Although for some reason the listing's not there anymore.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand how they just take those things down. So Thurston Dooley III, Trey Dooley we call him.
Trey.
Good man. Now, you guys still use him, right?
Yeah, no, occasionally.
Apparently.
Occasionally and
apparently. I will say I had some ethical issues with a reviewer from our publication reviewing a play of another employee of the company.
That's true. I mean, I am technically an employee of the company.
Yeah, but technically Dooley is a freelance. So it's...
he's also a legend.
Conflicts were not.
That's like saying like you got.
I will say there was a bit of trepidation in the in the newsroom, in the bullpen, as it were.
There was
some back and forth. I had to get that review online.
I don't understand that because Dooley is such a legend. It's like you're saying, well, we can't have who's the greatest writer of all time. We can't have Philip Roth do a review for the Brooklyn Paper because, you know, he and Gersh are friends.
Yep, customarily, that's how it works.
Really?
Yeah, in journalism, I've heard.
Philip Roth, Philip Roth.
I think
if one does not generally review their...
I think if the review is fair and balanced, which I believe this one was...
Clearly, because it had some negatives.
It was fair and balanced, and what's wrong with that?
Because the reader doesn't necessarily know that. They haven't seen the play or the book or whatever you're talking about, and the reader needs to feel like
You're basically saying if somebody worked for The New Yorker
with
someone that worked at The New Yorker, and then years later...
But this is not years later.
Well, let's just say...
It's not years later.
All right, months later, someone that doesn't work at The New Yorker anymore, it writes a play, and then someone that works at The New Yorker reviews that play. You're saying that person, The New Yorker, can't review that play anymore?
No, but you would want to find someone who is not friendly with the playwright.
Listen, I've seen some of the battles Dooley and Gersh had over his reviews in the past.
No question about it.
It's not like Dooley... Was you know?
You go
like
back. You go back, Ruth. And
I never saw Dooley and Gersh's office
though, is it's about perception, and the reader has to trust.
It's
true. Has to trust, and they don't know. They haven't seen the play. They are not privy to the relationship between Dooley and Gersh.
You should put Vince. You should put
again.
A line at the
think you're putting your ideas of what their relationship is into this, and I don't think you know what the relationship between
but
Dooley that,
but
and
neither
is.
Does the reader. That's
right.
My
yeah,
point.
We should put
the
a disclaimer, but
not.
But Ruth, you do need to know. You go back to that Pinocchio review. You read it right now. Go back online. If you can hear the sound of my voice, go listen. Type brooklynpaper.com. Thurston Dooley III, Pinocchio. We battled over that because I saw the same production he saw.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Right.
And he said something, I don't know, there's some lines in there you won't believe that this is the end of children's puppet theater in America. It's slow moving, plotting, blah, blah, blah.
Great review, by the way.
Go back.
That's what made Dooley great.
And then he had Hansel and Gretel. He called it Hansel and Regretel. Because that was, and I thought it was great. So,
he did.
He's definitely an iconoclast. Doesn't listen to me.
No, he was not. There were lots of battles there. I think, you know, I don't think that Gersh and Dooley were or are best of friends. But
he's never been to my house.
Yeah.
Never been to my house.
No, never. So there you go. There you have
Ruth,
it.
Ruth, thank you very much. Now, just in summary, though, just so we understand each other, how are the grapes?
Oh, not great.
Okay.
You could take them out of here and throw them in the garbage.
No. There's actually a lot of good grapes in there. Important summary.
Yeah.
If you could just say anything to the theater-going public that's thinking about buying a ticket to either a Wednesday matinee or Thursday at 6:15, and they're going to be on the Lower East Side, and they want to see theater, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to bring a fan.
Bring a fan.
Oh,
it's
singer.
Hot. It's hot in that theater.
It was hot. It was very hot. I don't know how the actors were handling it, because they were under the lights. I felt for them.
My actors do a great job.
Yeah, and I was looking for sweat patches, and I didn't see any, which was the most impressive part of the production.
Never let them see a sweat.
No mm-hmm. sweat patches.
Oh. Well... You weren't looking closely enough at me as I entered with Trotsky the dog.
Yeah,
I was sweating
all
over.
Well, it was a busy scene. It was a busy scene.
All right, Ruth, thank you very much. We got to get out. Please take
the
grapes.
They're
delicious.
In.
I don't
Let's
know why
give Ruth
upset.
A round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you. There she goes.
I did take the grapes. All right. Listen, Ruth, before you leave.
She's gone.
I would have told her.
What would you have told her? If Ruth was sitting right here,
if
right
she's
now.
Sitting there saying, I'd say, enjoy a grape. And then maybe you should look for a dentist who provides quality care at an affordable price.
You got to do that.
If you're going to do it, you're going to find Joseph Lichter. You know why? Lichter's got a state-of-the-art office with up-to-date technology, and you can get all the stuff you need, like teeth cleanings, fillings, root canal, extractions, all that. But he also offers the latest in restorative and cosmetic dentistry. And we're talking about implants, porcelain, veneers, crowns, bridges, and more. Now, these are the kind of procedures that you'll pay $1,000 for at Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
But Invisalign, he offers it for a fraction of that price, and a fraction with a very low big number at the bottom. A big, big number at the bottom.
Yeah.
So anyway, you got to call this guy. 718-339-7878. You set up an appointment. Lichter is at 1420 Avenue P between East 14th and East 15th Streets in Midwood. You can visit him online at josephlichterdds.com.
I love that guy. Hey, I'd say Atlas Steakhouse offers a selection of premium cuts aged on site for perfect texture and taste. Atlas Steakhouse has an extensive list of vintage wines. It has expertly mixed cocktails, classic and signature. It has signature appetizers guaranteed to stimulate your palate. At Atlas Steakhouse, your choice cut steak is crafted to a culinary masterpiece just for you.
You know, I went to Atlas Steak with you once.
We have been there, and we should go again.
We should go again.
We should. They have delightful desserts, each sweeter than the last. Atlas Steakhouse is a completely unique dining experience out there in Ditmas Park.
How is each dessert sweet? Sweeter than the last? Well, the first one I order is the bread pudding. That's pretty sweet.
Well, the problem is you gotta do it in the proper order.
I see. Okay, so I'll start with like an apple.
Yeah.
And then I move all the way to the chocolate mousse.
Work your way down. It can go the other way.
Yeah, each dessert is less sweet than the previous dessert.
Depending, again, if you choose that route, and they'll happily work with you on that.
I can have the dessert first, and then I can have the steak. So then I'd say, well, you're at Atlas Steakhouse, where your dessert comes first.
Savory. Savory? What does savory mean exactly?
It means not sweet.
Savory means not sweet. All right, so you work from one way to the other.
Anyway,
I don't know.
Have your dessert.
The fact of the matter is, you have your dessert at Atlas Steakhouse. It's at 943 Coney Island Avenue in beautiful Ditmas Park. You can find them online at atlassteak.com.
All right, we got to get out. We got to get in.
I don't know where we're going.
You know what I always say.
You say a lot of things.
My philosophy, Jimmy, is everybody in the pool. Am I right?
Yeah. Jimmy agrees.
So what I do, I spend most of my weekends with my kids at public pools in New York City, mostly the Double D pool or the Red Hook pool. The other day, ready for this?
Yeah.
Did something revolutionary. Went to the Sunset Park pool, and it was better than the Red Hook pool.
Yeah. Are you getting that?
I'm getting it.
Yeah.
So it's better than the Red Hook pool, but that doesn't mean anything because they're all great. Every pool we have is great. And now I'm told there's a pool in Brooklyn Bridge Park, the fancy schmancy park on the East River.
It's always been temporary.
Well, they say it's temporary.
It's always been temporary.
Well, now they're talking about...
There were no plans to keep it there.
Why was it even there in the first place?
Well, I think originally they brought in the pool. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but originally I think they brought in the pool that was on like a barge.
Yeah, barge pool, yeah.
Like that was the first
year. Oh, the barge lady, that's right.
We had the barge pool there, and that was very popular. It turned out to be very popular. And then they decided, well, you know, we had that. Let's do this like kind of temporary pool. It's pretty small. Have you been to the...
It's very small. It's not even a double D pool.
There's a limited amount of people that it can hold, but a lot of people use it. It's a very popular attraction. So now they're saying that this is the last year of that pool and it's going to go away.
All right. We got to get Lauren Gill in here to talk about it.
She's going to break it down. There was a big meeting this morning or a big, what do they call that, when they gather people together and they complain.
I mean, something of a conference.
No.
It was a rally?
Rally.
It was a rally. Oh, well, that lowers its import in my mind. But
well, whatever. They're rallying.
Let's get Lauren Gill in here because she's been covering this from start to finish.
She has been covering it and Squadron's got a lot to do with it. We're going to have him on later.
Daniel Squadron will be joining us by phone.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Ouch. Hey, is that Lauren Gill?
It is.
Hey, Lauren, why don't you come on in here and bring your notes on Brooklyn Bridge Park's pool project.
Yeah, bring them all.
Okay, I will.
Oh, she's coming in.
Yeah, she's got to work.
Now, Lauren, you know, it's funny. She's like a young reporter. She's bright.
She's
bright.
Very good.
No, charming.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
A little trepidatious about being on the air with legends like us. Yeah,
let's start. Told her she's coming on the show today, her eyes lit up.
No, but Lauren, we were talking a little bit about how you're a great young reporter, got a lot of spirit, a lot of spunk, a lot of integrity.
Yeah.
But yet it's weird you don't love being on the radio with two legends. Why is that?
Would you like some grapes?
Being on the radio is great. You get grapes.
Okay, have some grapes. That's from Murder at the Food Corp. All right.
Official Murder at the Food Corp. Each one, each grape on it says Murder at the Food Corp.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lauren.
Yeah, that's not easy to do.
You have got to break this story down for us. First of all, why is there even a pool in Brooklyn Bridge Park at all, and why are they getting rid of it?
Why is there a pool in Brooklyn Bridge Park?
Yeah, it was
it's
never
a public
part of the
park.
It was never part of the plan, though. It was never part of the original plan.
Well, I mean, it's a public park. They want to provide amenities for people.
Nice.
You know.
Amenities that people use.
Yeah, and
like
that's
pools.
What they were saying today, is that people love this pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why they want to take it away?
Well, in 2011, they negotiated some contract where the pool was only going to be around for 5 years. And at the end of the 5 years, the pool, you know, was supposed to go away, and they were going to look into a more permanent pool.
And what were they going to put in the space where the pool was? Is there any ideas for that? Just throwing
yeah,
out.
Yeah, there's going to be... parkland.
Oh, which is just what we needed.
With
more
a water feature.
Oh, water feature.
Water feature.
That's awesome.
But not a pool.
Not a pool.
Not
no.
Something that you could submerge yourself in.
No. And as
more like something you could spray yourself with, right? I mean, I'm guessing.
Actually, the pop-up pool is located next to the Pier House development. And when you look at renderings on the Pier House site, there's no sight of a pool there. So it could also be something, you know, where they don't want people paying millions of dollars for these condos and living next to a pool.
Ah, this is also...
Whoa. You just threw that in there. Have you done some... What's the story about
I'm
that?
I'm working on the story.
Big story.
This is Tomorrow's News Today, Gershon.
Wow. Do we have a song for that? We got a little song for
Tomorrow's News Today song?
I read the morning paper.
Okay, that's not really our tomorrow's news today.
Close.
That's yesterday's news today. Anyway, play that one backwards next time. So, Lauren, we're getting tomorrow's... So, you think it's all because of the Pier House, but we knew the Pier House was coming. But the Pier House was coming. That was part of the original plan.
Yeah.
So, you're saying, oh, rich people in the Pier House don't want to look at kids swimming.
Yeah, don't they want to live next to a park? That's what they're promoting it as.
Yeah, so wouldn't they want to live next to a park with a pool?
I don't think so.
What? I don't know.
It's nicer to live next to just, like, Greenland than, you know, a place... It could be loud.
I heard Greenland's mostly covered in ice, though.
Yes, Iceland is green and Greenland is ice.
That's what I've heard.
All right, well, that's all well and
good.
No,
I think...
This looks better from an aesthetic standpoint.
So basically, Lauren, what you're saying is if you were buying a multi-million dollar condominium, you would not like to have a pool next to it with a bunch of little kids screaming.
I think I'd like a pool.
So you wouldn't mind the pool?
I wouldn't mind it.
So all right. How are these other millionaires different than you? Outside of the fact that they actually have millions.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
That's pretty much the big one. How much are you paying, Lauren, now?
I can't say.
Oh, it's funny. We lost our transmission. Can we get it back, Johnny? All right, Lauren. Okay, so they want to get rid of the pool. Now there's talk, though, and Daniel Squadron will be joining us in a few minutes. He's the state senator for the area.
Yeah.
There's talk of getting a new pool. What would that pool
be? Yeah, what happened at this rally today? Tell us what happened.
Okay, so basically politicians, and there's this group called Love Our Pool.
Love Our Pool.
Yeah.
So LOP.
They're demanding that LOP. Brooklyn Bridge Park keep the pop-up pool open until it locks down more concrete plans for a permanent pool.
So there are no concrete plans right now for a permanent pool.
The park says that it thinks a floating pool is most feasible, and it's looking into the Plus Pool on the East River, which is like a plus sign, and it would use water from the East River, filtrate it.
All right, so now the Plus Pool is a fairy tale. Is that correct?
I mean, they're still like $19 million away from making it a reality.
All right, so this is a 20, how much did it cost, $25 million?
I think it's 20.
So
they got $1 million.
So it's a $20 million pool that would be out in the river. Or the estuary, as it were.
It is an estuary.
It would be great. It's very innovative.
Well, so what it does, just for listeners who don't know about the Plus Pool, it basically sucks in the East River, it filters it, and it puts it into two pools that cross each other in the middle.
It's like a cross. They'll call it a cross.
Swiss cross.
Yeah, they're Swiss cross.
Thing. Not religious in any nature. It's like a plus. Yeah. Problem with it is it costs $20 million. Now, when Squadron's phone call comes in, I'm not even going to answer him. I'm going to say, $20 million? Hello, $20 million. That's what I'm saying. $20 million is a lot of money.
Actually, today, for the first time, politicians said they're looking into providing funding for a permanent pool. And in the past, you know, the park has said it can't provide a permanent pool because it doesn't have the money.
Oh, so the park used the excuse that they didn't have the money for a pool, and now the politicians are stepping up and say, hey, we can get you that money.
Yeah.
And that kind of puts the park in a kind of a tight spot, I'd say. They'd have to, like, answer to that, right?
Yeah.
If they, in fact, don't want to put in a pool.
Well, they do want to put in a pool. They just don't want to keep the plus or the pop-up pool, there's so many pools, open.
Okay. But the other pool that you talked about was another one of these barge pools?
Yeah. So there's also a barge pool that could be open within 2 years.
What?
It would also cost from $17 to $20 million.
Wait a second. The barge pool cost as much as the plus pool?
Yeah, but it would be done quicker.
But it'll be done to you. How long would it take the plus pool to be built?
Oh, we don't know. They're still in the early stages, and they still have 10 other sites that they're talking to, so they haven't even selected Brooklyn Bridge Park yet.
Oh, the plus pool people.
Yeah.
Remember, the plus pool needs to be on a river. Because it has to suck in water, am I right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
How about the Gowanus Canal? Are they considering the Gowanus Canal for the plus pool?
I don't think so.
No, you'd have to turn it sideways. It would be like the multiplication pool. <'Cause> it couldn't
the
fit.
The times pool.
All right. We got to get out because Squadron's going to call.
Is he? Okay.
Gilly, what would be the toughest question?
Gilly could stay on the line.
No, Gilly's going to stay. But what would be the toughest question you want me to ask Daniel Squadron? Just like, because you won't ask him. I'll just do it.
Yeah, Gersh doesn't care. He's got nothing to lose.
I'll have to think about it.
Well, this is the time.
I'll just jump in.
All right, you'll jump in when he calls. I just so you know, Jimmy, I am going to go after this state senator like a bear going after a line-caught salmon on a plancha. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm going to grill him. I'm going to catch him, and then I'm going to grill him. And the question I'm going to ask is, it's already the most expensive park in the history of mankind, or in the top couple of those.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it have a pool? And then now you got to make more money available? This is insanity. What are we going to throw good money after good in this park?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the park is making a lot of money off of all the development.
Well, that was always part of the plan. I guess they're going to tell you they're probably going to say, well, we're not making as much money off the development as we thought we would.
But then they'll probably say we need more development to fund a pool.
Well, I'll say build it high. That's what I say.
Yeah, I know that.
You know I'm a gentrifier, right? That's what you're upset about? Because the more we gentrify, the more apartments we have in the marketplace, the chances are the price will start coming down because it's supply and demand, Lauren.
You've explained this
before. Yeah, supply and demand. Supply and demand, Jimmy, you know about supply and demand?
I do.
Okay, thanks for turning up your mic there. Turn it back down. Anyway, he knows about supply and demand. Supply right now is those grapes right next to you. Oh, there's Daniel Squadron. Let's answer the phone. How do I do it?
Pick it up.
Well, hello. Is that State Senator Daniel Squadron?
Is that the famous Gersh Kunstman?
I don't know about famous, Senator, but you're on the air with Gersh Kunstman and Vince DiMaselli, editor of the Brooklyn Paper. And, of course, you know our best reporter, Lauren Gill, who's been grilling you like a piece of salmon these last few days.
I do know Lauren Gill. I'm sure no pun intended.
There you go. Thank you. Anyway, Senator, thank you for joining us. First of all, just right off the top, right from the start of the show, hitting you cold. How you doing?
How am I doing? Yeah. I'm doing great.
Yeah. You've been in office about, what, 6-7 years now?
Coming on 8 years, Gersh.
Wow.
My fifth term to represent the people of Western Brooklyn and Lower Manhattan in the New York State Senate.
Well, I think it's great. Well, the good news is we've got a story today.
Gersh, you remember how young you were when I was first elected?
Never mind that. You know, I'm still young, my friend. I don't know if you know, I got a play out called Murder at the Food Co-op. I'm rattling the cage every day, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something important. You are out there today rallying your troops in support of a pool at Brooklyn Bridge Park. Lauren Gill was there, and she's got questions. I got questions. But first, in your own words, why do we need a park in Brooklyn Bridge Park?
Why do we need a park in Brooklyn
Bridge
Park?
I mean, a pool. You know what I mean. Come on.
It's a great pool, and we, in fact, did a survey this summer of pool users. What we found is that more than four out of five are from beyond the surrounding area. So
okay.
It's not just a neighborhood pool, though it's a great neighborhood pool. It's also a borough-wide pool. 3 out of 5 users of the pool don't use any other public pool, so this is really their one opportunity to use a public pool space. And I think as anyone who's used it, and the 879 folks who signed a petition to preserve it would all tell you, it really is a unique experience. There in the shadow of the Brooklyn Bridge, looking at Lower Manhattan and the harbor with the beach. To the credit of Brooklyn Bridge Park and the Brooklyn Bridge Park Conservancy, they've done a great, great job with this pool, and it's popular for good reason.
So now I want to ask you the tough questions. Four out of five come from the outside of the neighborhood, which I think is strange because you know Brooklyn Heights. You represent Brooklyn Heights. These people don't want outsiders. How are you going to let these? How are you going to convince these people to let these outsiders to keep using a pool?
I don't think that's the issue at all. I think that it's a pool that's popular with the local neighborhood and popular beyond the local neighborhood.
But you said exactly. 4 out of 5 are from
a great group of parents have come together and organized an advocacy group called Love Our Pool, and the folks who kind of got it started live locally. And as we found from our survey, the folks who are interested in filling out a survey about this, signing petitions, come from all over. I think this is actually a great example of the way in which a park can both serve a local neighborhood and also serve a much broader region group of people.
Hey, Senator, this is Vince DiMaselli. The editor over here at the Brooklyn Paper.
He's a legend.
Legendary, yeah, without question. Why does this pool need to go away? Why is this pool disappearing? Lauren's telling us she thinks, and it's just a hunch, that maybe the luxury condos that are nearby, the people living there, don't want to have a pool right there. But what's the rationale for the pool to be taken away?
Well, look, I'll let folks who think that the pool shouldn't continue make that argument. I would say, in fairness, I was able to negotiate along with former Assemblymember Millman as part of an agreement that increased funding for the park and pushed it forward to ensure this pool for a minimum of 5 summers. This is the end of the 5th summer. So there is no requirement that it stays. What we're saying is, who knew how successful a pop-up pool would be 6 years ago when we made the agreement, 5 years ago when it first opened? It's turned out, as shown by our survey, as shown by lots of measures, to be such a success. We should continue it and move toward a concrete funded plan for a permanent pool here, floating somewhere else in the park, because a pool in Brooklyn Bridge Park is that popular and should continue. In fact, one part of the survey, we ask about sort of alternative uses of this space. And, I think 80% of respondents thought a pool was the best use of this space.
Well, look, everyone loves a pool. You know, what's that? I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Well, I'm the same way about pools. I use public pools all the time. The most stunning figure in your study, I thought, was 3 out of 5 people don't use any other public pool. That says two things to me. One is, this must be a completely awesome pool. But two, what's with these people not using other public pools? I go to Red Hook Pool all the time. I saw Brad Lander there the other day. What pool would I see you at? You use public pools, right?
I do, and in fact, this one, as well as others. And I would say that as you have young children, as I do, a 2 and a 5-year-old at home, one of the parents at today's event actually talked about this. Because it's a little bit smaller and because of how it's laid out, I think for parents of young children, it provides sort of a different kind of experience in terms, than the large pools do. And concerns, size can be a great thing. It can be imposing thing, depending sort of the age of your kids and your family. So I think that's one of the reasons.
I mean, it's
for that. I think the other is that this is a destination space because it's such a great park. Of course, there's other great parks, but Brooklyn Bridge Park really become a destination, and so this is an active, intense recreational use within this park that has kind of captured the imagination of the whole city.
Yeah, I mean, it's outside of your district, but I go to Red Hook Pool a lot, and by comparison, I have to admit the Brooklyn Bridge Park is a nicer park. The Red Hook Pool is, it's a little bit down and dirty, my friend, and the emphasis is on the dirty. But that's all right. I love it. I love the water. Lauren, you've been to the Red Hook Pool, am I right?
I have not.
All right, there you go. So that's what I'm saying, Senator. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, we got to get out of that point. Now, the plus pool. That's one of the options, that $20 million plus pool. Where are you getting the money for $20 million, Senator? Come on.
Well, that's actually part of what we're saying is plus pool is a really promising, exciting idea, as are a couple of other proposals. And we've got to be able to make sure that those are real ideas with real time frames, which requires real funding.
Yeah, but you're the guy with the hand on the spigot, aren't you?
Gersh, I appreciate the faith in me, but as you know, the city administration, especially, really should be funding this. They fund other public pools and should be funding them.
Wait, it would be city funding, wouldn't be state funding?
Look, the state, I'm happy to argue with my colleagues in the majority in the Republican State Senate. They tend not to like to fund things here in our neck of the woods. I also do think, as I said, this is part of that same agreement that got us the school that moved the park forward, gave the city control of Brooklyn Bridge Park.
That's true.
And
that's true.
With responsibility, with power comes responsibility. And so I do think the city needs to take the lead on funding the permanent pool.
Yeah, we should conference in the mayor right now. You have his number? You have his number? You want to call him, Daniel?
Yeah, you want me to just
conference him in. No, we'll do it later because, he's obviously working out at the gym. But anyway, the point is, he's a busy man. So it's going to be city funding. So now I'm thinking we're never getting a pool back in this park.
Why? This has been a discouraging conversation for you, Kirk?
Well, no. Once I heard about the city.
Very positive.
Once I heard about the city, doing the needing the money, I freaked out there for
a
second.
Here's the good news. Here's the good news with the existing pool. That's called a pop-up pool, and we understand why. That pool was built solidly. There's nothing about the most expensive portions of that pool that require it to be closed this year. There's some work on the locker areas and other things that could be updated. The good news is that's the cheapest part of the whole pool. The most expensive part, the pool itself, is in good shape to continue for more summers without new money.
Well, this is fantastic. I mean,
do the people that run Brooklyn Bridge Park even want a pool there?
Ooh.
I think that, and I really appreciate this. I think this summer they've made clear repeatedly that they're enthusiastic about a pool. They have been enthusiastic about the plus pool, about the idea of a permanent pool more broadly. That enthusiasm is positive. We really appreciate it. And they are the ones, can't forget this, who put in this great pool. The agreement that Assemblymember Millman and I made couldn't require them to do it well. You can't require that sort of thing in agreements, and they did it really well. So I think that shows a commitment here. A commitment, a theoretical commitment, is not the same thing as a concrete funded plan, and that's what we need. So, I think that the park and the city need to go a lot farther for a concrete funded plan, and in the meantime should extend this pool's life. But I, you know, they've expressed enthusiasm, and I take them at their word. They built a great pool, and that's certainly good evidence.
Now, listen, Lauren Gill has got one more question for you, Senator, and she is tough.
So the park is going to put in more green space and a water feature that they're saying could be flexible programming space during the winter. And you have politicians saying, you know, we'll provide some funding so you can keep this pool open for more summers, and they're not interested in it. Do you think it's because it's right next to Pier House?
Ooh.
Look, I don't know why they're not so far willing to extend it. My hope is that they do extend it. I certainly think that, and this goes without saying, and I've been a long time critic of the idea of putting housing within a park to fund it, because I think that it gets in the way of the mission of the park and creates a political dynamic around the park that isn't in the best interest of the broader community. So, you know, that's my view in general on residential development within a park to fund it. Gersh knows that well.
I do.
And so the fact that even questions like that get raised, I think, speaks to the larger issue. In the case of this pool here, I still am hopeful that the park will agree to extend it, that the city will put dollars in. Eric Adams today and Steve Levin, to their great credit, both committed money to that end. So, you know, I'm not yet willing to say that that it's not going to happen, or that the park isn't going to come around and agree that this makes sense.
Is there a number that the a dollar figure for how much it would cost to get to keep the park going one more year?
Oh, it's you know, the Brooklyn Beach Park Conservancy, which is the private group, has taken on a lot of the role of funding the operation of it year to year,
right,
with private money, and, you know, has been pretty enthusiastic about that task. So, you know, separate from that, you know, it's a really small amount of money, you know, in the five-figure range, just to sort of do some of the work that would have to be done at a minimum.
Five figures. So five figures, like Lauren Gill and I could come up with that.
I don't know about that.
Gersh, if that's a commitment to match Eric Adams and Steve Levin, we will accept it.
Well, I'm going to backtrack from that commitment.
Say a number, Gersh.
I'm going to backtrack from that. You know, I already did one of those once. I matched a donation to some filmmaker, and then all his friends suddenly started donating, so I got burned on that one. I'm not going to do that again.
I hear you. Okay. Your listeners are welcome to call up and contribute as well. We would appreciate it.
They are. They are, definitely. Well, you know, let's give them a phone number to call and donate money. Where would they donate money?
Call Brooklyn Bridge Park Corporation.
There you go. All right, we got to get out. Senator Squadron, we do one thing with all our guests. We let them plug whatever they want to do. You've been good to talk about the park, but give us one thing you want to really talk about, what you want the listeners to know about.
Oh, you know what I really want the listeners to know about? When you talk about every one of these issues, state and local government has a huge impact on the pools you get to go to in the summer, the schools you get to send your kids to, the buses and subways you use to get around. State and local government with busy lives can be really, really hard to focus on and really discouraging to focus on. But the more focus, the more positive impact it can have, and it really makes a difference.
Wow, that was a plug. Are you saying vote? You're saying do your civic duty.
I'm saying vote and be involved beyond that.
Be involved.
A small group of parents who originally got together to create Love Our Pool has completely changed the conversation. They started out just three or four volunteers who were worried about losing the pool, and they built a movement that has taken 20 minutes on Brooklyn Paper Radio. If that's not a good reason to get involved beyond voting, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I know, 20 minutes. We got to cut this off. Senator Daniel Squadron of Brooklyn Heights and other areas, thank you for joining us on Brooklyn Paper Radio.
Thank you.
There he goes.
All right, take care of yourself.
You know, when I talk to a guy like Squadron, I think, I'm hungry. I'm hungry.
You are, huh?
And when I get hungry, I go to Atlas Steakhouse. You know why, Lauren? Don't leave, Lauren.
Let's leave it.
Lauren. At Atlas Steakhouse, you always dine a cut above the rest. You want to know why? Because, Lauren, you select your premium cut. It's aged on site.
I've never seen Lauren run out so fast.
No, it's aged on site for optimal texture and taste. You select the cut. You select the vintage wine. Maybe you want a cocktail, Lauren. What kind of cocktail do you like?
I don't know.
You know, she doesn't drink.
Oh, come on.
I do drink.
Okay, so
what would you have?
You're going out for a drink tonight. What are you having?
I don't know. I usually don't get cocktails. They're really pricey.
All right, so what do you get instead?
I just usually get beer.
And what type of beer?
I like Brooklyn Lager.
Okay, they have a Brooklyn Lager on
at
tap.
Atlas
Steakhouse. So you get a vintage wine, a cocktail, or a Brooklyn Lager. You can get the signature appetizer. I had the crab cakes. And you'll wait while you get that steak. Now, after the steak, which you can get any way you want, medium rare, I don't know how you like a steak, Lauren.
I don't eat steak.
Okay. Well,
this is I'm a pescatarian.
Pescatarian. Well, you can get a fish there. They got fantastic fish. Anyway, you complete your dining with a sumptuous dessert. Do you eat dessert, Lauren?
Yeah, I do.
All right, you eat dessert. What do you like in the way of dessert?
I really like lava cakes.
Lava cakes. Well, they have a nice little molten chocolate cake there. Anyway, at Atlas Steakhouse, you always dine a cut above the rest. Atlas Steakhouse, 943 Coney Island Avenue. Find them online at atlassteak.com.
That's pretty good. Jimmy, can you turn me up? I can't hear myself. And I need a little music.
All right.
A little dialing music. I still can't hear myself. Oh, there it is. Hey, Gersh, when was the last time you saw a quality dentist who was truly affordable? If your answer is it's been too long to remember, then it's time to see Dr. Joseph Lichter. Dr. Lichter's state-of-the-art dentistry is offered at extremely reasonable prices so that almost anyone can afford to get the smile that they deserve. Right now, his prices are even more affordable. You know why? Because listeners of Brooklyn Paper Radio, including State Senator Daniel Squadron, can get special low prices on some of Dr. Lichter's most popular procedures. For example, Invisalign. That's the virtually invisible alternative to metal braces, which usually cost $5,000 or more. At Dr. Joseph Lichter, you'll save more than $1,000. On porcelain veneers, which can go for $1,000 or more. At Dr. Joseph Lichter, you'll pay only $675 smackaroos. Get the bright smile you've always dreamed of, because for a limited time, Dr. Lichter is offering the Zoom teeth whitening procedure for only $395. Call Dr. Lichter's office today at 718-339-7878 to set up an appointment. That's 718-339-7878. Dr. Joseph Lichter, as always, is at 1420 Avenue P.
Like periodontal. That's what you want me to say.
Between East 14th and East 15th Streets in Midwood. Visit him online at josephlichterdds.com.
All right. I love that dentist. I love that steakhouse. Lauren, we got to let you go. Lauren.
Oh, okay.
What are you working on?
What am I working on?
What's on? Well, we know what's coming up tomorrow because she's working on the big story here.
Big story.
Yeah. And what else? I went to a roundtable with the Economic Development Corporation on Monday, and I'm working on a few stories from that.
Really? Give us one little taste.
Yeah, so I asked about when they're going to activate the ferry route from Brooklyn to Governor's Island.
Nice, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And Maria Torres Springer said, you know, it's sort of when, you know, there's more development on the island, and it's more of a destination year-round. So it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, there you go. The answer is no.
The answer is no.
I just said
when. The answer
when.
Is no.
I mean, they said eventually.
Sounds like the answer is no.
It sounds like the answer is no. You got to grill them a little bit more on that one.
Okay.
Question is moot.
Thanks.
Question is moot.
There you
All
go.
Right, we got to get out. Great job, Lauren Gill. Bring those grapes. Those grapes from Murder.
Yeah, you can take the grapes. Please,
take
get
the grapes,
them out of
please.
Here.
All of them?
All of them, the whole thing. Enjoy. That's your parting gift.
Great job.
Parting gift.
And other guests get home. There's a thing with like, and he gets a suit from someone. Anyway,
Botany 500.
There you go, Botany 500. Yeah. Vince, what are you gonna do after the show?
I gotta figure out what's going on. All of a sudden, we got a kid with a fever, and it's putting a damper on our vacation tomorrow.
How could they?
It's just terrible.
Well, I'm going up to that.
But here's the thing. I don't like one kid can't make it. Mom stays home with the kid or dad stays home with the kid and mom and the other kid come. I mean, what's the big deal?
Sounds like a great time.
We prepaid for the hotel.
Oh, you prepaid. You never prepay. It's a sucker deal.
Well, no, we prepay for the hotel, save us a lot. I'm going no matter what. I don't care.
Oh, you're going.
I'm going.
Well, I'm going to the Upper West Side to see my beloved girlfriend. She's awesome. She's been very supportive all summer as I've done this show.
Listen,
which has not been easy.
It has not been easy, Gersh. And I know I'm looking at you right now and I'm saying, Gersh, go home.
Yeah.
Go home. Go to your loved ones.
Yes.
Because you don't look good.
I don't look good.
You need rest. You're drinking Coca-Cola like it's going out of style.
Well, I'm tired.
And you got gas.
I don't know about the gas.
I'm telling you. I'm sitting next to you.
Shh, Johnny, play us out because we got to get out of here. It's a great show.
It was a great show. Will we be back next week?
Who knows?
Who knows? Brooklyn Paper Radio from downtown Brooklyn. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Johnny. Thanks to Gersh. Thanks to Daniel Squadron. Lauren Gill, Ruth Brown, we'll see you next week.